I was listening to an interview of a comedian on NPR. And the name of the comedian was Hari Kondabolu. And Hari Kondabolu is a man who grew up in Queens, New York, but his parents were immigrants from India. So he tells a lot of jokes, does a lot of his comedy around ethnicity and race. And he said, you know, they played a little tape of one of his shows. And he said, you know, I just love Black Lives Matter movement. I think it's really great. But every time I say Black Lives Matter, someone has to say, but all lives matter. He says, really? I mean, do you realize how ridiculous that is? It's like you're having a birthday party, and everybody is saying, happy birthday, but someone has to pipe up and say, but I also have a birthday. Shut up! It's not about your birthday. Why does it always have to be about your birthday, Melissa? So what he does is, he said in the interview, he uses humor to offend people so that they can see things from a different perspective. You know, I think maybe comedians may be some of our best social commentators because they have that freedom. They can say anything they want. And so they can force us out of our comfort zones and put us in a different perspective so that we see things a little differently than we would otherwise. Well, I think the prophets in the Old Testament were sort of in that same position. They weren't comedians at all. But they had the freedom to say things that were offensive to people, and they did it in order to get them to see things from God's perspective. We've been reading from the prophet Jeremiah for several weeks now, and we're going to continue for a couple more weeks. Jeremiah was a prophet that lived in a difficult time. He lived about 600 years before Christ. And in the 300 years before Jeremiah, Jerusalem had been established as a pretty strong and powerful city. David had built it. Solomon built the temple. There was prosperity. The temple was seen as a dwelling place of God, and it was seen as a place of safety. God would not allow Jerusalem to be destroyed. But the people over time became complacent, and they began to move away from God. They started bringing in foreign idols and worshiping them and forgetting about the covenant that God had made with them. And Jeremiah saw this, and he lamented this. And Jeremiah saw that there were clouds gathering on the horizon. The big powers of the region in Assyria and in Babylon had begun raising armies. And Jeremiah could see that they were going to be coming upon Jerusalem. And so he warned the people, turn away from your idols, turn back to the living God, or you're going to be punished for your idol worship. And in today's reading, he imagines the coming destruction of Jerusalem. He grieves for the people. He imagines the children starving, the foreign soldiers rampaging through the gates, and the bodies in the streets, and houses going up in fire, and people being led off in chains. And he grieves for what's going to happen. He knows this is going to happen. And so he grieves. And what he fears actually does come to pass. In the year 587, the Babylonian army did come and break down the walls and destroy Jerusalem and lead the people off into exile. It was a terrible catastrophe for the people of God. It was a huge tragedy that lingered for centuries. Jeremiah says, my joy is gone. Grief is upon me. My heart is sick. Listen to the cry of my poor people far and wide, saying, the Lord is not in Zion. Her king is not in her. For the hurt of my poor people, I hurt. I mourn. Dismay has taken hold of me. So Jeremiah is not just a sort of impassive observer who stands far off and tells the people, you better take care of this. But he's an active participant in his people. When they are hurt, he is hurt. He grieves for them. He uses that phrase, my poor people, three times in this short passage to emphasize how much he cares for them. And because Jeremiah is a prophet, we know that he's just not speaking for himself, but he's also speaking for God. He's saying that really it's God who is grieving for the people. God sees the suffering of the people, and God is grieving for them, just like Jeremiah is. The suffering is a punishment for the nation who has turned away. They are suffering the consequences of their actions. And God is like a parent of an adult child who has made some bad choices, gotten into alcohol or drugs or had a bad relationship or made some bad choices about work. And all the adult parent can, all the parent can do is watch and grieve and hope and pray. So God grieves for God's poor people. Jeremiah asks, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Gilead was known as a very fertile place. And there was balm could be obtained there, and there were physicians. So it was known as a place of healing. And yes, there is balm in Gilead, and there are physicians there, but they are not able to heal the soul of this city. So Jeremiah grieves for God. He says, oh, that my head were a spring of water and my eyes were fountains of tears so that I could weep day and night for my poor people. You remember how when Jesus came into Jerusalem, he also looked out over the city and he wept for the city of Jerusalem and the people because he knew that a second time Jerusalem was going to be destroyed. You know, Jesus, in many ways, modeled himself after the prophet Jeremiah, and there's a lot of similarities in their ministries, in their lives. So I wonder, who does God weep for today? Jeremiah says that God does not stand far off, impassively watching people suffering, but God suffers too. So who does God weep for today? You know, I walk into a nursing home, not the expensive kind that have the color-coordinated decor and lots of staff, but the last resort kind, where people are slumped over their wheelchairs and stumping along in their walkers and mumbling things incoherently, and there's not enough staff. They're frantically trying to do everything, and there's a smell that comes from some corner of the place that's not very good. And I say, my poor people, my poor, poor people. I go into a homeless camp and I see those tarps and tents and trash strewn around and these people who are just aimless and distracted and hopeless. And I just say, these poor people, these poor, poor people. I imagine myself on a refugee boat, and I see these frightened children and their parents who are anxious and who have left certain death in their homeland and for a risky journey and an uncertain future. And I think, oh, these poor people, these poor, poor people, what's going to happen to them? You know, it doesn't matter to God if they are the same religion as I am, or if they come from the same country as I do, or if they're the same race as I am. God cares about them and God grieves for them because God cares for all his children. God suffers with those who suffer. And if we're aware of what's going on, we will suffer too. We will grieve too. I think that's what Jeremiah is telling us. in this passage. You know, I look around and I see my young families who are, you know, running so hard to keep up and working hard at their jobs and their careers and trying to pay the bills and work on those college loans and raise their kids and keep up a relationship and trying to stay healthy. And I say, oh, my poor people. It's so hard. And I look at my people who are aging and I see them, you know, losing the energy they used to have and their bodies starting to fail, going from one doctor visit to another and one loss piling on another loss. And they say, oh, my poor people. My poor people. You know, none of us are alone on this planet. I mean, we all participate in humanity. We all suffer when another person suffers. All people are our people. The poet John Donne, 400 years ago, was walking in London and heard a church bell ring. And he knew it was a bell for a funeral. He said, I wonder who that bell is ringing for. And he wrote a poem, a very famous poem. It goes like this. No man is an island entire of itself. Every man is a piece of the continent, a part of the main. If a clod be washed away by the sea, Europe is the less, as well as if a promontory were, as well as if a house of thy friends or of thine own were. Any man's death diminishes me, because I am involved in mankind. And therefore never send to know for whom the bell tolls. It tolls for thee. Well, can we see, as Jeremiah sees, can we see as God sees, can we see that we are connected to every human being? I think that's what Jeremiah is asking us. We are all God's children, every one of us on this planet. When Jeremiah was imagining the destruction of Jerusalem, he asked, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? There's an African-American spirituality that answered that question. He said, yes, there is a balm in Gilead. There is a physician and that balm is Jesus Christ. God sent Jesus to live as one of us and to show God's love to us and to suffer with us. All people are God's people. All people are our people. Amen.